1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
Now, that after I have had sex with her, then we vote on whether we spoon or for the rest of the night or she leaves. So the reality show that I'm proposing, Phil, is a combination of Survivor and Blind Date. Most women, after they have sex with a man, would like to stay and cuddle. On our show, we vote on whether they can stay with me for the night or whether they have to leave the apartment. So it's very, you're going to the heart of a woman. And he was going to hear my pitch, but they decided against it in favor of Anna Nicole Smith. And I think it's just, it's wrong, because I think we need a show that's strong for 18 to 34-year-old men.
All right, so you will pick a woman up in a bar, take her home, have sex with her, obviously not on screen, right?
No, it's not on screen. It's really about showing guys how to meet a woman, how to show her your power and how attractive you are, and then take her back to your apartment. So that's the educational part of it. And then I think the part that is fun for the audience is that we vote on whether she gets to stay with me or whether I tell her to get out of the apartment.
And you call that a combination of Survivor and Blind Date because there's the voting and...
Yeah, there's the voting, and then the Blind Date part is the date.
Who does the voting? And then the other question is, isn't this a little insensitive to the women?
No, I don't think it's insensitive. I think it's something that every woman is aware is a possibility. Anytime a woman, and women listening right now knows that this is true, anytime you get to go back to a guy's apartment and you can have sex with him, you know that there's a possibility he's going to tell you to leave because he's got to get up early or whatever he's going to tell you. So that's always a possibility. And it's kind of a fun thing for a lot of women. Maybe not as fun, but it's kind of interesting for women. They sit there and they have sex with a guy, and then they go, okay, now, is he going to let me stay and we can spoon or cuddle? And a lot of women love to spoon. Or is he going to tell me to get out? I mean, to kick me out, not to kick me out, but that's basically what you're doing. You're kicking her out.
Well, what makes your show so strong? I mean, Anna Nicole Smith is a very attractive woman for some, although I believe it was my associate producer, Chris Pelton, who called her a butter hog.
I
didn't think that was very flattering.
Well, I got to agree with Ms. Pelton on that. She's... Anna Nicole Smith, first of all, is a white trash butter hog who is not that attractive. I would not sleep with her. And I know there's a lot of men who would not.
A lot of guys like those big girls. But anyway, let's get off of that.
But women have to learn that just because they put out in the sexual arena, that doesn't mean they get to actually stay in your apartment. And the Chris Norton Show explains that.
All right, what makes your show so strong? Our phone number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton on to talk about the reality show that he's pitched, E, where women that he meets come home with him, you have relations with them, and then you vote on whether they get to stay or whether you tell them to
leave the apartment, right.
What makes your show strong?
Well, what makes my show strong is it appeals to men 18, 34 who aren't sure how to make the right moves on a date. It shows men how I have done it over the last 10 years. I've been successful in sex, and I want to teach guys. Plus, you can see me at the bar, whether it's the Rusty Pelican or TGI Friday. And
well, what do you say to a woman the first time that you meet her? What would you say?
You mean as I approach her in the bar?
Yeah, what do you say when you approach a woman in the bar?
Well, first thing...
Most guys would like to know that.
Well, I will walk up to a woman and say something that's very unusual, and also as a sense of my power as a man, I'll say a combination of what is up, and you put those words together into three letters. I'm sure you heard it. It's S-U-P.
Sup.
Sup. And that says to her, you're taking out the frills, you are getting to the point that you buy her dinner, and that says to the woman that he wants to fill me up, and we have drinks, then we have dinner, either Josh Slocum's or Rusty Pelican. And then I say another word that is three letters, S-C-O.
Sco.
Sco. And that means, I mean, it's kind of humorous.
That means let's go.
That's right. But again, you're getting to the point. Women love that. And when you walk up to a woman who's sitting at a bar with her girlfriends, and you just look at her and you say, sup, you are showing her a level of power. And my show is very special because the audience gets to see the hunt. where I pick her up in the bar, they get to see the conquest, and then they get to see on the voting whether she's, you know, I mean, I don't want to be mean or anything, but is she a butter hog or not? Does she get to stay or not? Okay.
Would you take Anna Nicole Smith home?
I would not, no. I mean, I that's what I told E. I said, I don't understand why you would put her show on account of being the butter hog, and you would not put my show on, which teaches guys how to, you know, pick a woman up.
All right, you have the woman in your apartment, and you've said, let's go, and then what next?
We get back to my apartment. I will put some music on.
What kind?
Something that's very sensual. Some Rod Stewart, Elton John. I like Rocket Man, which is kind of my signature song, because it goes, I'm a rocket man, burning out a da-da-da-da-da. I don't know how words go or anything, but and then I throw my jacket off.
Now, your resume says you've had relations with, quote, countless women across America.
Yeah, I do. And I say that not to brag, but to let women know that they're in experienced hands. The last thing a woman wants to feel is she's in inexperienced hands. One thing I want is a man who can last, and I do have staying power.
All right, Chris Norton with us. The show is called The Chris Norton Show, a show that is a combination of Survivor and Blind Date. You meet a girl, you take her to dinner, you bring her back to your apartment, you have relations with her, and then a panel of three judges vote on whether she can spend the night with you or whether she has to leave your apartment.
That is correct.
You don't see anything insensitive about that.
No, again, Phil, you have to understand that every woman knows that if she's lucky enough to go back to a guy's apartment, that it's also, there's two levels. Will she get to go back to his apartment and have sex with him? And then the next hurdle to jump, will she be invited to spend the night? Or will he say to her, which generally when the guy says to you, I got to get up early, just save yourself further embarrassment, get your clothes and leave. But a lot of women will say, well, I mean, that's okay. I'll get up early with you. And that's, you don't want to do that. Okay.
Well, he's trying to give her the hint to leave.
That's correct. So
you're saying this is something that every woman expects?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to go too much into my dating life, but I would say that if a woman is very enamored and she really likes you and is enjoying your company, and you say to her, I got to get up early.
Yeah, I mean...
Won't she be offended?
Well, it's not really how she feels. It's how the audience, which is primarily men, how they're going to feel. And I have had more guys write me letters to say, you know, that was so awesome because she was a bit of a butter hog and I did not want to see you spend the night with her. And when you said that I got to get up early in the morning, I thought, yeah, you know.
So the audience can be rooting for you as to whether or not you ask her to stay or whether you ask her to go.
That is correct. That's correct. And a lot of times, if you watch Survivor, you're rooting for one and they vote him off, or you're rooting for another and they vote her off. In this show, you may want her to spend the night, and because you may like her, but my judges will say she's a 9.9 butter hog and she's going off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The show is called The Chris Norton Show. It's a reality show, a combination of Survivor and Blind Date. He picks up girls. He takes them home, and then a panel of judges vote on whether she gets to spend the night or whether she gets to stay. Are you're absolutely sure that when a woman has relations with a man, she wants to stay and cuddle?
Yes, sir, I am. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of women who may, you know, be a little bit more masculine in that regard.
No, women, after they have sex, want a spoon, and they want to stay and spoon. And so when they do that, that makes them feel bonded. What a man wants to do after sex, or what I guess a lot of guys who I know want to do, is they want to just get her out of the apartment. But so if I vote to let her stay, that means that I'm kind of doing a sacrifice. I mean, I'm women don't feel complete unless a man spoons them. Okay?
Because that's part of the bonding process.
That is part of the bonding process. So, you know, she wants to stay, but I may vote her off and tell her to get out, or just get her clothes and get out, or I won't say it that.
Yeah, I want to. How do you say it to them?
Just get out. You know, okay, you got to get out of here. You know, you have to leave. They voted you out of here.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. As Chris Norton is on, this program, by the way, was not picked up by the Anna Nicole Smith show. Was picked up. He says he doesn't understand that because she is not attractive. She is what he calls a butter hog, and you may agree or you may not. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton saying that when women go home with a guy, the first hurdle is, will they get to sleep with him? And then the second hurdle is, will they get to spend the night and spoon? And they vote on his show as to whether she gets to stay or leave. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Okay, we have Chris Norton with us. We'll go to a phone call here. Eileen, go ahead. You're on The Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
As I said when I called, I can't believe what I'm hearing. This guy's an absolute pig. Women deserve, and women have more respect, and need more respect than this man thinks.
I'm not disrespecting
and
him.
I wouldn't be surprised. He'd be great putting my brother in law with Dr. Laura.
How am I disrespecting him? How am I disrespecting him?
How are you disrespecting
him? Yeah. I bring
because
him home,
you think
I take
that
him
a woman,
to dinner.
Because you think that a woman is an object just to use, obviously.
No,
and
I mean,
that
this
you
happens,
feel that...
I don't know where you've been, but this happens every week in America. Women go to bars, guys pick them up, they go home.
But if you look at the psychology of a woman, most women are looking, even if it's the wrong place and the wrong time, they are truly looking for that person in their life.
Exactly.
And I think that women, when they have a relationship with a man and give themselves, not all of them 100%, but as a rule, they're looking for something more than just, hey, get out of here early in the morning, babe.
I don't understand what you're saying. I really don't. I don't understand what you're saying. You pick her up. You take her home, you have sex with her, and then you decide on whether she's going to spend the night or not. How's that different from
what? Maybe you should decide that you like her and that you want to have some sort of a relationship
well, what
with
if
before
I
you have the sex.
What if I don't?
Well, then maybe you should have
counseling. This is a show that's mostly for guys, and I don't know whether...
Well, what she's saying is the show is based upon guys using women as objects. Isn't that right?
No,
it is not. It respects women, and it respects what women know. Women know that when they're picked up by a guy, there's a 50-50 chance that they'll be asked to go home after sex. Every woman knows that, okay? And if a woman doesn't get spooned after sex, I mean, she doesn't rate.
So if a woman does not get asked to spend the night in your apartment on this TV show, she doesn't rate.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's not news. You both are acting like that's some kind of news. I'm saying that this is the way it is, and that women understand that.
Maybe she just
asked for a guy's place for sex.
All right, thanks for your call, Eileen. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton is with us. We're talking about a new reality TV show that he's proposing called The Chris Norton Show, which was not put on the air. The Anna Nicole Smith show was put on the air. You call her a butter hog.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's absolutely disgusting that a woman that looks like that is given a prime time weekly TV show. And why? I mean, what exactly are we going to watch? Are we going to watch her eat more chicken? Are we going to watch her...
Anna Nicole Smith wasn't in Playboy for no reason, okay?
Well, I don't know why she was in Playboy. When she was in Playboy, she weighed about 50 to 60 pounds less than she does now. But they put her show on the air so we can watch her lick the grease from her fingers after she's...
All right, but your show provides us with a glimpse into your life. You pick up women, you take them home, and then you vote on whether they get to spend the night or not.
That's right, because women... So let me tell you something about what makes me attractive to women, Phil, and I think that I didn't explain this to you. First of all, I think your television audience will get more pleasure out of watching me and how I look than a butter hog like Anna Nicole Smith.
You've used that butter hog line now a lot, okay? And I guess what you're saying is that Anna Nicole Smith is fat.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm completely stunned that they put her ass on TV. And so, in other words, why don't they just have a Weight Watchers meeting? They could put a camera into the fat lady's dressing room at the circus. I don't want to watch Anna Nicole Smith dip sticks of butter into gravy and lick them any more than I'd want to watch Hee Haw again. What I'm saying is people can come and watch my show, okay, and I drive a 5-speed silver Camaro with a T-top. I got Bose speaker system. I got red leather interior. And ladies, by the way, smoking is allowed in my car. I have a very interesting apartment. I have a lot of animal skins, a lot of tiger skins. I have some tiger skin sofas. The camera would basically show that I have an extensive adult film collection. I got a large DVD collection. I've got Collateral Damage on DVD. I got Judge Dredd on DVD. I got Under Siege 2 on DVD. I got Predator. Okay? And the women come into my apartment. I will serve them a cocktail. Then they're allowed, you know, then we'll go in, we'll have sex. And then the exciting part is, okay, we have the three judges, and say her name is Sandy or something. How you doing? Sandy, you know, thumbs up, spend the night. You can spoon, you can cuddle, you can bond, or thumbs down, get your bra, or, you know, get your panties, or get your stuff out of the bathroom and get down to your car. And that's something that every man has had to deal with, Mr. Henry, and I think you'd be a liar if you said to me that you never had to deal with it. Is that right, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry, have you...
You know something? Maybe in my life, in my 20s, I had to deal with something like that, okay? Maybe I did. Did it make me feel good?
I'm not saying it makes me feel good. That's the drama of the show.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lisa, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm calling. I'm a therapist. And first of all, this man has a narcissistic personality disorder.
Oh,
and
okay, doctor.
Also,
okay, Dr. Laura.
And also, he fits the description in the book, Men Who Hate Women and the Women Who Love Them. He fits that description.
What are you talking about?
He fits that whole entire
book. I don't
book.
Hate women. I have slept and been with and have relationships with
you
many,
hate
many.
Women. You hate women.
No,
your
no,
mother
don't.
Or sister. Somebody did
okay.
something to you
okay, then I
in your life
this.
That made you hate women.
Okay, and I can say this about you. You've been asked to leave a lot.
Well,
yeah,
I think you need a lot of serious professional help. Like,
hey,
as soon as possible.
And I think that the minute some guy asks you to actually spend the night, then you can maybe not go home and take solace in a Mars bar. And, you know.
What? I'm
saying?
A very happy, stable relationship myself.
Very happy,
and
stable.
And I do not have to. And,
yeah,
and I would not talk to the man that said to me, what's up? That sounds
no,
stupid.
No, I didn't say what's up.
That sounds like a junior high education.
I didn't say that. I said sup. Sup, which gets to it.
Sup? Hey. What kind of thing is that? That's something that an educated lady
no,
who has any respect for herself is going to answer you.
No,
on.
It's just getting to the point. It's not a lot of small
you're not getting,
talk.
You're not getting to any point. You're picking up stupid women in bars that have no sense about themselves. And
so you've called me stupid, and you've called the women. I think I have a right to say that the only stable relationship you've ever had is with
a
three musketeers bar.
And as far as Anna Nicole goes, there's
okay.
no way you could never get her into bed anyway.
Yeah, you're
you
right. You're right.
Her.
I couldn't get her into bed unless U-Haul stays open late.
U-Haul has. Let me tell you something.
I get to the point.
He probably has a lot more respect and intelligence than you would ever have in that little brain of
Can
yours.
Can I ask you a question? Don't you think it's rude to call a talk show with a mouthful of Scooby snacks?
All right, okay. Can we stop the insults?
No, she's the one that started in saying that
I'm not insulting you. I'm
no, you
telling
said
you about your personality and that you need help.
What have I
I'm
said?
Telling you how, I'm telling you how you do
what?
You do fit the DSM-4 diagnosis for narcissistic personality disorder. Maybe if you can read,
are
you can look it up.
Are you a doctor?
Yes, I have. I am a licensed therapist.
No, no,
you can
you're not
read,
a doctor. You're not
then
a doctor.
You should pick up the DSM-4 and look at a narcissistic
Lady,
personality disorder.
You're not a doctor.
And you will find yourself
you
there.
You got your MA in some marriage kid counseling thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton picks up women and decides whether they can stay or leave. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
No, it's obvious to me that Anna Nicole Smith gave up a long time ago and has just turned herself over to you know, fat products, and I think it's insulting to people like me who want to pit. My reality show, Phil, is based on, as I said, Survivor and Blind Date. Now, the woman can get points if, when I get her into the bedroom, one of the things we do is we will tie her down. Now, I want you to listen to this, okay? Because
does this woman know that she's on television?
No, we get her permission afterwards.
So she never knows that she is being filmed?
No, sir.
So in your reality TV show, you pick a woman up, you take her home, you sleep with her, you're not filming the sex?
No, we are not filming the sex, but we do film the one preliminary part. I tie her to the bed, and I have a, and I want you to please just go with me on this, Phil, and not judge me too soon, okay? Because this is part of how she scores points with a panel of judges. But I tie her to the bed, and I have a skinning knife that my great-grandfather used. My great-grandfather worked on the docks in Baltimore, and he had one of these Rambo-style skinning knives that's about 14 inches long.
You're talking about tying a woman to a bed and a knife, man. This gets me a little nervous.
No, but this is a dramatic part. So you have to listen to this. I will tie her to the bed, and I will run the knife down the middle of her back. It sounds very dangerous. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie called Cruisin', with Al Pacino, but in that movie, the guy runs a knife down the guy's back. But what he did do is he stabbed that guy. I'm not going to stab her, obviously, but I run the knife down the middle of her back, and if she starts to cry, then it's okay, forget it. We cut her loose, and we go, you know, you got to leave. But if she's kind of digging it, then we'll have then I'll untie her, we'll have sex, and then we'll vote whether she stays or not. So you can win points with the judges by not crying when I run the knife down your back.
1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. So you're taking out a knife, a skinning knife that your grandfather owned. You're running it down the middle of this girl's back while she's tied to the bed. And if she cries, she has to get out of the apartment.
That's correct, right. We never hurt her. I'm not going to stab nobody. But
see, here's the thing. She doesn't know that she's being filmed. So as far as she's concerned, she's with a psycho who is got a knife on her. She's tied to the bed.
Yeah, but that will make it dramatic. Okay?
And then you tell her later that she was being filmed?
Then you tell her later. I can tell you, they are excited. They have so much fun. They're thrilled. And again, part of the fun is being able to drive over to my apartment. And also, Phil, I wear a pretty nice, as I say, I wear a pretty nice outfit when I pick the girls up. I wear a red and white leather jacket over a mesh tank top. I wear guest jeans with slits up both sides with cross-stitching, which is very sassy. And I wear a pair of white leather clogs, and I've got a ruby nose stud. So all of that combined, and the only time any of the contestants might get a little nervous is when they see the judges outside the tiki torch.
All right, well, this program, pal, was not picked up. People obviously want to see Anna Nicole Smith instead, if you know what I'm talking about. So, good luck.
Well, I would say to all of your listeners to rethink why you want to look at a butter hog like Anna Nicole.
Well, you knock it off with the butter hog comment.
All right, but why you'd want to look at that as opposed to seeing me and beautiful, sexy women and me running a knife down their back to see if they're digging it, and then they all of a sudden find out they're on TV, and they go, oh, God, and some of these chicks are so relieved they wet their pants. I mean, it's hilarious.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Chris Norton Show. The Anna Nicole Smith Show is going to be on instead because, as Chris put it, most people want to watch a butter hog instead of him.
And what's really sexy is I keep my leather clogs on through the whole experience.
Right. Good luck. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show. I do the voices of these different characters that you hear, and the people that call in who want to talk to them, they think they're real guys, like Chris Norton there. And yesterday, Vernon Dozier, no, actually, Ted Bell was on, wasn't he? Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who was talking about his steakhouse, and what was he talking about? He was talking about his charcoal. Yeah, he doesn't use charcoal because he doesn't want to murder minors. Somehow in Ted's mind, miners, the guys that were trapped in Pennsylvania, are mining charcoal, not coal. And so if you barbecue teriyaki chicken, you're murdering coal miners. Something like that.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. I just looked up the word charcoal in the dictionary.
What, you didn't know what it meant?
I wanted to make sure of the root of the word because I knew very well. He kept saying, why is it called coal?
Why is it
called
coal? Called
exactly. Coal because it's Middle English.
Exactly.
It is C-O-L-E back
exactly.
In those days.
That's right.
And it's come down to us
like
that
old
way.
King
it's tradition.
Cole. Like Old King Cole.
It's, yes, Old King
who
Cole.
Died
probably.
In a, who died
definitely
in a house?
That.
He died
he
in
was
a
probably
house?
A charcoal person. Anyway,
that's
I looked
good.
Up the definition, and it is the
no.
Imperfect
no,
combustion of
funny.
Water, other organic materials that produces this stuff. It's not the mine.
That's charcoal. That
for
can come
sake.
Out of the mines.
Oh, I
so
cannot
words,
believe
think it's
the
funny.
Ignorance of these West Coast liberals.
So, in other words, you think it's funny that he's called Nat King Cole because he's black like a piece of coal?
I have no idea about that, but you were talking
racist.
Middle English.
Get a load of the racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's funny, don't you?
Oh, sure.
That a black man's called Cole.
Well,
they
didn't
listen,
call him
I don't
Cole
think,
because
we, I don't think we ought to get into any racism here.
Well, you
this
did,
was
you laughed
in
at the
Middle
fact,
England.
You
now, these
laughed,
are white people, okay?
You laughed at the fact that he was called Nat King Cole.
I am laughing at the fact that I'm even making this conversation at all. I cannot believe I've had to
coal?
Go look up something in the dictionary that somebody should have learned years ago.
I know what coal is, and I know that we've got miners who are putting their ass on the line so you can go out and have your teriyaki chicken.
I don't eat teriyaki chicken, and I do not do anything with coal. But let me tell you, sir, if you will take that dictionary off the shelf with probably gathering dust, you will be able to find out what the root of that word is and how old it is and also what it is. It's the product of the imperfect combustion of organic or wood material, and that's all it is.
I know what words mean. I don't need a dictionary.
Oh, yeah, really? I don't think you do. I think you do need a dictionary.
The coal miner's daughter almost never made it because of barbecues, so think of that.
I do not know the first thing about barbecues, except
for
this stuff which I just looked up, and it's got nothing whatsoever to do with coal that you dig out of the ground. Goodbye.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Perfect. I thought that was a nice little moment of comedy, especially when he said if we put a lump of coal up your rear end, we'd have the Star of India. I think that that pretty much says it, although I have to agree with Ted when he says, oh, you think it's funny? Nat King Cole, get it? Yeah. Old King Cole was called that because he died in a house fire. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Osama bin Laden is alive and he's preparing an attack according to, well, another one of them Arab papers. Yeah, he's happening. He's there. He's getting all things ready. They're going to attack in August. And he's feeling great. All these stories that come out about him being alive, isn't it just obvious that the guy has been colder than Old King Cole for a long time? Because now I saw the headline there on CNN today on the website as soon just before I came into the office, and it said, the guy's dead. They busted some of his bodyguards. He's cold. He's Old King Cold. That's Osama bin Laden. Because they got some of his bodyguards down in Guantanamo. I think that this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This is better than crossword puzzles, man, tracking this guy, whether he's alive, dead, whether he's somewhere in between. You know, by the way, I read a really interesting book over the weekend, and I read the whole book in a weekend, called The Fall of Berlin. You know the Russians had Hitler's body until 1970? They did. They had his charred body, but they had it until 1970. And then they took the jaw and they took the skull. That's the only part of Hitler's body that they have left. And they burned what was left and then flushed it into the city's sewer system. But it was Stalin that floated the rumor that Hitler had escaped to the West because he wanted to make it seem like the Nazis dug America, and that made us even worse than we really are, right? But they found his body there in the Reich Chancellery garden, and they pulled it out, and they took the jawbone or something because they wanted to do the dental record thing. They put that in a box, and they had somebody carry that back to Moscow. Then they wrapped the rest of it up, and they took the whole freaking thing back. And then they used it for Liza Minnelli's facelift. So you see, so these guys that are rumored to be alive, they're croaked. Big as life. Elvis, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Rock Hudson, they're all dead. Osama bin Laden, Tupac ain't alive, forget it. Biggie Smalls dead. Notorious Big dead. All gone. Is it one of those guys ever been proven? Has anybody walked out of the jungle? Has anybody ever said, you know, John Kennedy is still alive. He's a mindless idiot sitting in a wheelchair in a sanatorium someplace, but he is still alive. Has it ever been proven, like John Kennedy, spirited away by UFOs? Is he still around? No. They never come walking out of the jungle. They don't come walking out of a house. They don't call up a talk show. This is called hysteria. So those guys are croaked, and every time they say that Bin Laden's ready to get going again, man, these guys, boy, forget it. Let's move on. 1 year after they knocked down the World Trade Center, and there's absolutely really nothing to this organization, makes me think that we're dumber than we look. Because if these guys are as stumble-bum as they appear, and they were able to do what they did to the World Trade Center, then we really do have a security problem, because these guys couldn't find it with both hands. And they got lucky, and I do mean lucky, knocking down the World Trade Center. Then we go in, we drop a couple of bombs, we take Osama out, take him out on a shutter. He's gone. These guys start floating the rumors about how he's got another operation plan for... Maybe he's got a vasectomy plan for August, but he ain't got any other operation plan for August. So that's some of the news that's happening. Also, Ozzy Osbourne appears at the very end of the Austin Powers movie. And what was interesting, as I was leaving the theater, Ozzy Osbourne comes on, and he's trying to say the word boobs, and they show a bunch of outtakes of him trying to say this word. Well, the people that were leaving the theater stopped, turned around, and watched this for however long it went on. It must have gone on for like 2-3 minutes, but at the very end of the film, they are showing Ozzy trying to say, this movie's made by a bunch of boobs.
Ozzy, it's boobs.
All right. This movie is boob. It's not. It's me.
Take two.
This movie. There's a boob. No.
Take three.
Boobs.
Take four.
They move. And everybody just stood and stared. Does that prove once and for all that the only reason why anybody watches that show is for Ozzy and nobody else in that family? Why do we have to sit and look at the wife, the kids, the house? I just as soon see him in a pub all day long sitting. Does he drink? I think he still drinks, even though he's not supposed to. Well, I've seen him knock down a glass of wine, so you may say he doesn't drink, but I think around Christmas time I saw him popping back a little of that, I think I saw him popping back a pitcher of Schlitz at Christmas. Or some kind of wild Irish rose and four roses. Doesn't he drink that fortified stuff? This thing is a boob, you know. So he couldn't say,
boop, take four.
The boob,
take five.
You, forget it. Anyway, he's not supposed to drink. Sharon will kick his ass. And with all due respect to Mrs. Osbourne, I know she's had a, you know, recent bout of, you know, colon cancer. But beyond that, you know, I wish her well. I just don't want to see her on TV anymore. I hope that she lives to be 150. I just would rather not look at her on television. He's the only guy we want to look at. Now, I understand certainly that the people are there to augment, right? Fine, but I don't need whole episodes that are revolving around the daughter and the son and whether the guy's got his legal IDs. And I forget it, man. I want to see Ozzy chasing a cat to the bushes. Now, the Anna Nicole Smith show, Butter Hug or Not, that's going to be interesting. What possibly, I certainly hope she's got a drug addiction of some kind, because after you get past the fact that she is porcine and rather Rubenesque and lovely in her own way, I mean, there's got to be something interesting going on, wouldn't you say? Or is just going to be see her trying to get into a pair of jeans every week? She's going to have to take her clothes off at some point. I understand that she and her dog are both on Prozac, but what will that do? Now, she's got an attorney, and I think there's a manager, and there's a few other people that are going to be on this program with her. And each week, she'll try to get into a pair of pants. I don't know. A lot of guys don't like large women. I'm not one of them. I do. I think that they're lovely in their way. I've had relationships with many of them down through the years, and I can attest to the excitement, the thrill of being with a lady of that kind of beauty and acreage. Girth. Well, that's not a good word either. Just a beauty and largesse, I think, is one that comes to mind. I mean, a pretty face and a pretty big butt is good. Speaking of large women, don't forget the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available on our website. Tangent Beverly Hills bowling shirt available now. All you got to do is philhenryshow.com it, and you're there, brother. Go into the souvenir shop, pick up that thing, and you're living large. Now, the Tangent Beverly Hills bowling shirt has been named an instant collectible by LA Magazine. Don't believe me? Get the August 2002 issue. See if it don't come out the same. That's what I read. And so you will be on that ever-increasing, heady A-list of people walking around town in Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts and saying, well, you listen to that crap, too. Good for you. Also, pick up the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. It's black and silver, and it's quite a mighty thing. So it's there on our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Do you remember when we said, you want to beat the Osbournes? Just put a camera in Pamela Anderson's bathroom. Boom, what do we got there? Anna Nicole Smith. Doesn't take long for those guys to figure that one out, does it? That's all you got to do. Now, who other, you know, the only problem is, are they really going to go through with that Stephen Hawking show? You know, you're going to watch him just wheel through the day? To me, E, you ripped off my idea. We should send a Ted shirt to Anna Nicole Smith to see if she'll wear it on the show. What do you think? As I said, Anna, you know I love you. And I think you're gorgeous, and I'll think you're even more gorgeous. We'll even order a triple XL. I'm just kidding. We'll get a double XL fit you. If you'll wear it on the show, I will be forever in your I'll be forever in your shadow? No, I'll be forever in your what? In your debt. They should put Ozzy and Stephen Hawking's in a ring and let them fight. That's one episode. Then episode two, I think would be, I don't know, but personally, I went to E! And I went to MTV both, and I said, Stephen Hawking, you know, the Stephen Hawking show, because have you seen some of the gorgeous women that are in his life, and he just gets up in the morning and wheels, I don't know. They want to show a guy that's crippled. We have the Helen Keller show, bumping into crap. Remember the show that we, about 4 months ago, we had an idea for a reality-based TV show, and actually what it was this. It's not really reality-based. Blind people are on a stage, and then you have them go and do things, but there are metal stairs that they could fall down. Only, well, all right, so it wasn't that great of an idea. But the concept, I think, well, I saw Ozzy Osbourne screw his leg. How many times am I going to see Joe Theismann snap a shin bone? I might as well see some poor guy who's sight-deprived, mentally challenged, and visually challenged, falling down a set of metal stairs. The Christopher Reeve show, I think, is in development. Hawking's, Helen Keller. Who else? Michael J. Fox program.
5 years later.
All of those shows. You want to put Ozzy on there? Putting him on? You putting me on? Why don't you put my show on? Show the Hendry family. Next hour, we'll tell you about all the things we eat. Just a camera on our dinner table is enough to send people screaming. 1-800-449-8686.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's time for I've Got Four Kids, Here's How Much Food I Gotta Buy. I'd like to thank the music there of Buddy Guy. I don't know, it's something about blues. Blues always suits any topic of food. Sex and food, blues. That sex has nothing to do with the blues. Not this. You tell me you're going to make love to this? Imagine having your wife home for the first time on a beautiful tropic island or something, and suddenly you... Well, honey, it's my... Certainly. All right, let's go. What do you call romantic music? You call romantic music something that's very soft, something very melodious, something... Not malodorous, melodious. Very Sarah McLachlan-ish, something... from City of Angels, you know, that kind of, and I don't want to wait a minute, you know, that kind of thing. And you don't want to hear, all right, let's screw. You know, you just, any woman that, you know, you get the Goo Goo Dolls, not freaking Lightning Hopkins. Anyway, big request we've had from a lot of our listeners is, you've got four kids, Phil. Just exactly what do you pack into the larder there at home? Now, I know my very good friend here, Mr. Pelton, he's got a son at home, and some of you have two or three. Some of you may have six or seven. Four is pretty good, especially when there's three boys in that mix. Three guys that get bigger and bigger, larger and larger, louder and louder, and seem to siphon up more and more as each minute, as each precious second ticks by on the clock. It was a time when they were happy with just, oh, I don't know, maybe a little bit of Top Ramen noodles, and they were picky, and they didn't like this, and they didn't like that. Now they're like three vacuum cleaners, okay, and their little sister's coming along pretty good, too, although she's echoing the constant refrain of women down through the ages, doesn't matter how old they are, I'm fat. Yeah, you're fat. You're 10. You ain't fat. You're 10. 10 ain't fat. You understand? I'm getting fat. You know, when I find the adult that's been putting that into her head, it ain't me and it ain't my wife. When I find you, and I know you're out there, when I find whoever it is has been putting into my 10-year-old daughter's head the notion that she's fat, I am going to... Oh, it was you, Chris? Well, never mind. No, I'm going to... I'll bury you in Anna Nicole Smith. I'll shove your face into one of those thighs, and believe me, friend... So anyway, you go grocery shopping, you got three guys, big boys, getting bigger all the time. Here's what we buy at our house, and you might check this against your own grocery list and tell us how it comes out for you. We go to the store, we buy three cartons of 20 egg each packages, those frozen chicken legs, 15 to a pack. We buy 3 gallons of milk, 10 packs of frozen chicken breasts, 4 boxes of cereal, and they are the following cereals. And remember, this is per week. And I, by the way, misspoke. Not 10 packs of frozen chicken breasts, but we buy a pack of 10 frozen chicken breasts. Sorry. 4 boxes of cereal, and they are the following cereals. And may God have mercy on your soul if you come back with anything other than this. If you come back with cornflakes, or you say, hey, look, I got Wheaties. What? What happened to the guy that cries? Fruity Pebbles, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Peanut-Flavored Captain Crunch. Then we buy a whole carton of Top Ramen, which is that noodle stuff. You can buy a carton, it's like 6 to a carton. We buy large bags of pre-grated cheese because the kids just aren't getting enough fat. So what they do is they take a tortilla and then they lay in... say, some beans, and then they put the grated cheese on top of that, throw it into the microwave, and call it nachos. Then we get a large block of sharp New York cheddar cheese, one of those big bricks. It's about a brick size. And the kids just take that cheese slicer, and they just slice that off, and they'll lay that on top of a piece of chicken, throw that into the microwave, turn that up to broil, and it comes out. Basically, it's just a chicken leg encased in cheese. Then we buy Kool-Aid, and of course that's the big question. Can we make Kool-Aid? Yeah, make your Kool-Aid. 2 large cans of frozen orange juice. Then comes, of course, the lunch meats. 4 packs of fat-free Oscar Mayer bologna. Because, you know, Maria's doing her best. She's trying to keep the fat out of their diet, even though they're... I don't get it. She's getting fat-free bologna, and she's buying whole big bricks of cheese. What's that all about? All right. I'm just going to use some of this music sort of break up the, just to kind of, I guess what I would say is hyphenate, or if you will, use it as punctuation for these things. In other words, a large block of cheddar cheese. All right. 4 packs of fat-free Oscar Mayer bologna, another pack of that sliced pepperoni, pre-sliced pepperoni, 2 packs of sliced oven-roasted turkey breast. Now, I have a question for you. This oven-roasted turkey breast, it comes in, you go over to the vegetable area, well, not the vegetable, the lunch meat area, and it's that circular sliced chicken roasted duck, whatever the hell it is, it's foul. What do you mean oven-roasted? What, is that supposed to bring tears to my eyes that I remember Grandma, the way she used to just put it down there on the table while she was wearing her Hitler Youth costume? You know, that's right, all the white people gather around. And she put down the oven roasted turkey. It's just a slice of turkey. But it's got to be oven. My wife said, get the oven roasted. What difference does it make? It tastes the same. There's no What they do is they take oven roasted spray, and they spray it on each individual thing. It's an oven roasted spray. I think it's a ripoff. Another pack of what else? Oh, yeah, two boxes of Hostess powdered sugar donuts. This has got so much sugar on it that when you bite down on one, the pain shoots down every tooth. I mean, it literally, the sugar is getting down into the nerve endings, and your jaw is on fire with pain. Then we get a bag of Fuji apples, a bag of navel oranges, a bag of peaches, a bag of nectarines, one bag of plums. You say healthy? You say it's good for the kids? I'm the only guy that eats them. Then a box of basmati rice, which is really good rice. Then we get green peppers, iceberg lettuce, and what my wife does is she, forget about making a salad, she takes a head of iceberg lettuce and she divides it up into four chunks. Then she sticks it in a bowl and pours blue cheese dressing over the top of that and sticks that in front of their fat, fat little faces. All right. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you this is per week. We'll be getting back to more food talk in just a minute. All right. Then, tomatoes, cucumbers, vinaigrette dressing for my slender and lovely wife because she watches her weight, but for the rest of us porkers, fat-free ranch dressing and blue cheese dressing. And she gets it fat-free, but give me it. Forget it. What, are you trying to tell me that if I eat the fat-free blue cheese every day, I'm not putting any calories on? Then we get the 20-pack of pork chops, the 6-pack of steaks, full rack of pork ribs, 20-pound tri-tip, and I don't know why I threw this in here, but it just happened to fall in this particular list. A 30-pack of toilet paper. Then a 20, huh? Yeah, per week. A 30-pack of toilet paper per week. You know, you live in a house with six people. Got toilet paper or what? And if you got to shuffle downstairs, you ever had to shuffle downstairs with the pants around your ankles? This is not fun. It's not, first of all, what if there's somebody home? What do you do? And my wife's the one who has the gall to say to me, and you never change the toilet roll. Bull crap, I never change the toilet roll. I'm taking the toilet roll every time I'm in there. The toilet roll, I don't know what you're doing, but you run through a whole roll yourself in 2 hours. We're using a 30-pack of toilet paper. That's 5 rolls per person per week. What is going on? What do you mean I get those wet wipes? Yeah, those are great. Wet wipes. Might as well use wax paper. So that's what you wind up doing. You run out of toilet paper. You go into the kitchen for wax paper. I'm telling you. The pants are down. You're shuffling down the hall, grabbing it, and then you just... you got to go shuffle down the stairs. God help you if there's anybody home. Because what happens then is one of your kids see you, then it's like some kind of sexual abuse. Or I don't know, they saw you with your pants around your head. It's like, you know, protective services comes to your house and interviews you. Well, what was going on? I ran out of toilet paper. God forbid you drip. Weren't we talking about food a minute ago? 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This is blues music, and you play it when you're talking about food. Now, back to food. Now, what we're really saying is, I ain't saying it's expensive, I'm just saying it's a whole lot of trips to the store. See, you can go to Costco or wherever, some of these large warehouse-style stores, what do you call those places? They're just big... They're big places with no overhead, is what I call them. They're big places with racks of crap on, you know, stacked to the ceiling. They got no overhead. Bulk joints, yeah. And you can go there and you can buy, like, a large garbage can size bottle of mayonnaise. And you would just park that in your garage, I guess. I don't go there. I like going to Costco. I mean, I got a membership there. But you know what? I mean, how much food do I got to buy? I guess if I went once a week... Or once a month or something, but where am I going to keep all that stuff? How exactly do you bust into a bag of tortilla chips that's the size of a television? You know, what do you do? You got to take it and put it into smaller bags. And they do. Costco has a bag of Mission tortilla chips the size of a 64-inch TV. It's huge. You know, you can sit in it and eat the chips. You don't have to reach in, and you can just climb inside and eat your way out of the bag. Sorry, where were we? All right, we get the vinaigrette dressing. We also buy, this is the stuff we buy once a week at the store. Once a week. Actually, I'm probably exaggerating. It's probably once every couple of weeks. I mean, how many pork chops we got to buy? But I'm telling you right now. So then we get the 6-pack of Fresca, 12-pack of Diet Coke, 24-pack of Heineken. You notice when we finally get to the beer, it's larger. We get a 6-pack of root beer and a 6-pack of cream soda. As I mentioned, the large bag of Mission tortilla chips. Then we get that Rojas extra hot salsa, 2 tubs. There's no way that we'll ever be able to talk anybody out of getting maybe mild or medium, because Maria was raised on that good old New Mexican cooking. Everything with her is cayenne peppers. She could be cooking a chocolate cake, and she's going to throw some cayenne pepper into that. And the rest of us are on fire, right? It's just the same thing with the air conditioning. There's 6 of us in that house. 5 of us are dying from heat prostration. But we're going to absolutely, it's like we're out on the Death Valley Trail. I'm going to die if I don't get the air on. And she's, don't put the air on. It's a nice evening out. Let's feel the breeze. What breeze? There's no breeze! I got a fan that's circulating hot air, but turn the fan on and open the window. Okay, if I turn the fan on and I open the window, what am I doing? I'm circulating hot air, or am I not? If you keep talking, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And the kids are coming in going, can we please turn the air on? No, Mommy won't let us. No, please, I'm dying. Mommy won't let. What do you want me to do? So in other words, turn the fan on, open up the window, and I might as well just have a hairdryer on my face 24/7. Just, I know, go into the bathroom, get my hairdryer, and stick it right in front of your face and turn it on high. That's a lot cooler than what I'm dealing with. I finally told her, I said, I can't sleep. I gotta have cool air somewhere. You know, and now what's going on? The kids are outside sleeping out in the grass. They're taking their chances with coyotes and raccoons rather than stay in that house. And why is that? Because my wife can't stand air conditioning. She's there all bundled up. She's, you know, with a down-filled sleeping bag. She's got on a shawl, a wrap, or ski cap. She's got that thing with the cold hands. You ever felt shaked? Have you ever shook hands with someone whose hands are like ice? It's very disquieting. It's something, it's not a comfortable thing. And then add to that people who have really cold hands that are clammy, like there's sweat, and you think you've just stuck your hand in, like Fear Factor, you know, you just put your hand into someone's rear end. It's just not right. You want to wash your hands right away? It's like malaria. Oh, is that what it's called? It is malaria. All right. Thank you very much, Chris. It's, in other words, someone with cold hands and they sweat, they've got malaria. All right. Then we buy a large bottle of Pace Picante sauce, which is the absolute best. It's the greatest. So that's the first product that I've purchased in a long time where the advertising, other than my many sponsors, of course, on this program, where the advertising says it all, it's great stuff. Then we get the pack of spaghetti noodles. We get a package of linguine noodles. We get those Frogurts, whatever that is. It's the kids that got to have some sweet crap, so we buy the Frogurt stuff, and they can suck on that. Then we get 10 containers of various flavored yogurt. Strawberry, raspberry, lemon chiffon, pink swirl, is that stuff really good for you? There was a time when yogurt was good for you. There was a time when it was made out of a certain kind of bacillus. There was a lactate acid that it produced. There was an intestinal bacteria that it encouraged and created. And yogurt, which is a kind of a dairy product, was a healthy thing and meant to or engender those things in your system. Now it's just ice cream. All it is now, it's vanilla, it's chocolate. I don't know if there's any good stuff left in it. I bet you could go to the store. If I were you guys in the yogurt business, just pack Cool Whip into those things and say it's yogurt. What is anybody going to stick? It's yogurt. It's good for me. Oh, baloney. That crap is Cool Whip and you know it. Excuse me. All right. Then we get, not you, we, we get fat-free cottage cheese and fat-free sour cream. So you'll notice there'll be a lot of things in here like pork chops, steaks, tri-tip, Heineken beer, and then for every six of those, we get the fat-free cottage cheese and fat-free sour cream. This, again, folks, is the stuff we buy per week. Do you realize that I started reading this list at the top of the hour? I ain't gotten to the bottom of it yet. Fat-free sour cream, fat-free cottage cheese, six bottles of Vons flavored water. If you go over to Vons, they got that flavored water. It's really great. It looks like water, but it tastes like strawberry drink. It's great. You can fool yourself into thinking you're drinking water. But in point of fact, you're drinking strawberry soda because it's not red. Then we get a carton of Arrowhead bottled water, six cans of Campbell's soup, some kind of cream of mushroom, cream of anything. I like, personally, I enjoy the minestrone, but that's just me. And then we get a carton of Marlboro Lights, and then we move on to... then we get three loaves of Roman meal bread, which is the sandwich slice. I said to my wife, why don't we get the round top? No, we got to get the sandwich slice. Why? Because it's for sandwiches. Okay, is there really a big difference? Yeah, it's square. Oh, yeah, but the oven-baked turkey breast that you get is round. So why don't we get the round top? The bologna is round. The salami is round. I also like a thing called Lebanese bologna. Do any of you guys eat this stuff? It's really great stuff. High in fat, naturally. High in sodium. And I'll be dying. I'll have a full thrombosis attack here in a half hour. But boy, is it good. And oh, yeah, it's round. So the sandwich slice with the square don't make no sense. Then we got a package of Roman meal hamburger buns. You got a trend here? Roman meal? I'm the guy that introduced them to that because my folks used to buy it because they thought that was health food. Now we know better, don't we? I'm kidding. All you guys at Roman meal, you're really great. One package of Roman meal hot dog buns. Then we get the 97% fat-free Hebrew National hot dogs. Two loaves of Oro Wheat light bread, that's to pretend like we're on a diet. One tub of Smart Balance margarine, one jar of Smart Balance mayonnaise, one box of Land O'Lakes butter. See, so I've just completely eradicated all the good that the Smart Balance margarine did by getting the Land O'Lakes butter, one jar of Best Foods mayo, and two packs of six frozen sirloin patties. And a carton of Marlboros. That's what we buy once a week at the Phil Hendry home so we can feed those four kids. Send us your grocery list and we'll probably throw it away. But yeah, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Time now for a flashback from last week on our show. Vernon Dozier, well, he's just a sick animal. Listen to what he did.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, hi. I'd like to make a couple comments. First of all, I find it utterly disgusting that a father would want to have sex with his daughter. I find this nanny be a hypocrite because
a
mom can't sleep with her son, but a father can sleep with her daughter. I don't agree with any of this.
Wait, are you telling me that a mother ought to be able to sleep with her son? That is
I'm saying
vile.
that it's all wrong, but you're also a hypocrite. And I am 24 years old.
It's
I
okay.
have a dad. I love my dad to death. And I don't love him in a sexual, intimate way. That's just wrong.
Would you like a copy of our book, Life with Dad?
No, because your titles made me want to throw up.
Why would this it make so you want to... We give lessons on how to dance like Britney Spears for him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Will you, Drance?
This is disgusting. I'm sorry, sir.
It's disgusting.
But you're wrong. You don't sleep with your children.
Look, my daughter is 23 years of age, okay?
She messed up in the head. You're messed up in the head, too, to think that your wife and your son left you and you have to go sleep with your daughter.
Look,
that is just wrong. You are a sick man.
My wife and my son left me and took every nickel out of my bank account.
So you're going to cry about it and go sleep with your daughter? That just doesn't make any sense, sir.
As I said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
All right, so in other words,
you know what? Two rights don't make a wrong.
If your wife is having sex with your son, her son, so you're going to go ahead and do it too.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, look what she did to me.
I know. sir?
She's getting it in every position for my own son. They're down on the beach in Florida, and I can't get a little of that sweet stuff.
Sir, I think you're sick, and I think you're a what? I think you are.
You have
no self-esteem that you have to sleep with your daughter.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
When you were a little girl, you didn't run through the sprinklers with your panties while your father was planting a tree?
All right, I don't want any more of that conversation, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I don't mind.
Disgusting.
As long as we're talking about of-age women, we'll talk about it. I don't want any more of that. Do you understand me?
You know, Mr.
I'm
Henry,
offended by that. I'm
Mr.
very
Henry,
offended by that.
All right. Well, you know what? I would...
And what? Let me ask you something. What about your daughter? What if one day she meets a young man and she wants to be with that young man and she doesn't want to be with you anymore, okay?
Hey, blood's thicker than water. I'll always be the man in her life. Every woman I've ever met...
Oh, my God.
Let me say this to you, Sabrina. Every woman that I have ever met has lied to me, and now I find a woman who's faithful, and it happens to be my daughter. And you want to take that away from me?
Sir, you're not supposed to sleep with your children. And because every woman's lied to you, there must be something wrong with you.
Say that again?
For all your women to lie to you?
Yeah, women have
there's
been
something
nothing
wrong with you, then.
Women are liars. Women are liars. And
okay,
I found...
Okay, the men aren't? Excuse me,
When I was having normal sex, women lied to me. But the minute I discovered...
Maybe your daughter's afraid of you. Maybe she's afraid of the consequences
yeah.
of what happened.
There
if
you go. That's exactly.
If it was revealed to the police, she'd be afraid that she'd be embarrassed.
You know, this little thing, this Mr. Dozier, you keep bringing up Angelina Jolie and her brother, Woody Allen, and
what about Henry Fonda?
Oh, I have
and Jane
a comment
Fonda.
About that, sir. I have
what?
A comment about that.
Go
sir.
Ahead, ma'am.
Angelina Jolie is not going to come from California to have an interview with you on your radio. So no offense. But she's not going to tell you about her personal life, and she could be moving in with her brother because she needs a place to stay, not to have sex with him, not to be intimate with him.
Yeah,
and
sure.
If she is intimate with him, then she has a problem.
Right.
That is not normal behavior. You need to see a psychiatrist.
You didn't see her at the Academy Awards with her brother lip-locking him and just rubbing up and down?
You know what? I don't have time to watch TV because I have a very busy life, so I don't waste my time.
Are you? Can I ask you if you... Can I ask you if you want a copy of our book?
She doesn't want your book.
Asked me. I don't want a copy.
She doesn't want the book.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
We do have a report here on Angelina Jolie. I forget where you might have put it, Janice. I think it's here in my file of news, but she has... Oh, yes, here it is. Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton are divvying up their goods. Among the personal effects Jolie is said to want back from her ex are 5 vials of her blood, which she gave him on their marriage in the year 2000, which I don't personally find that odd. I can understand two people bonding, and there's a lot of things that you do when you fall in love that may seem odd to other people, right? Giving each other your blood doesn't seem that remote in terms of human behavior when you consider ping pong paddles with nails in them, dog collars, and the like. Now, according to a source quoted in the London newspaper, The London Sun, the actress is worried that Thornton, whose mother is psychic, will, quote, put a curse on her, end quote, using the blood. Quote, he is a redneck, and from a background experienced in these things, she wouldn't put it past him to try something like this, and it scares her to death. The paper says Thornton took Jolie's blood from their Beverly Hills home in May. Thornton's rep would not say whether the report was true. There are so many erroneous stories that we're not commenting on any of them. Meanwhile, Billy Bob is in Los Angeles shooting Bad Santa, in which he plays a nefarious version of St. Nick. She's filming the follow-up to Tomb Raider in London. Well, all you got to say is, no, that's not true. Is it true that Billy Bob has her blood and is going to put a curse on her? No, it isn't. Billy Bob Thornton, number one, the rumor is, has slept with everyone. He's slept with Angelina Jolie. He's slept with even the person who reported this story. Men, women, animals, me. So, I wouldn't put it past him either, to be perfectly honest, to turn Angelina Jolie's blood over to his mother and have her put a curse on her. You know, what you need, Angelina, more than anything else is one of them jackets that tie in the back. And a nice trip over there to Two Bunch Palms. Just sit in the mineral tub and look at the stars. Maybe let a little air out of your lips. I don't, some kind of rest and relaxation. Because if that kind of stuff is bugging you, you're nuts. You're nuts. See, that's what voodoo is. Voodoo is using the fear of the intended target against them. And Angelina Jolie, she's... fallen for the trick. What you got to do is you got to say, so he's got my blood, big deal. Go let him drink it. I don't care. The guy can go or go. He can sell it. It don't mean nothing to me. Too bad she's nuts because she's probably fantastic in bed. nuts and great in the sack. And how many of those have we run into, guys, in our lifetime? Boy, I wish I still had my blues music. Let me ask you guys a question, if I may, at this particular point. How many times in your life have you said, all right, I know she's psycho, I know she's got a cabinet full of medicine, I can't stop myself, I gotta do it. Hey, you got it, pal, every last one of you, myself included. Just one time, but one time was all it, no, actually two times, well, wait a second. Well, one of them was on medication that I know of, and I went ahead and I did it anyway, like an animal. Like an animal! She was as batty as a freaking Christmas fruitcake with the little pills and... Really? What,
It's okay, my doctor. Sometimes I'm very excited about stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I remember I took her out to eat and she was feeding squirrels. Stuff would embarrass me, but it shouldn't embarrass me. It shouldn't embarrass me. And I feel bad today that it did. I said, what are you doing?
I'm feeding the squirrels.
Okay. I mean, it's like nobody else is doing it. Well, and then she wanted to take a mule ride. Just stuff that... Let me ask you a question, man. You go out with a woman. When's the last time a woman said to you, can we go on the mule ride? I put the pills together with mule ride, and it spelled straitjacket. That's all, and it shouldn't have. Chris had a girlfriend that used to talk like a little girl after sex. In her head, she would turn into a 5-year-old. And, oh, man, you sick bastard. Did she really? This poor girl, one time, and Pelton left her there, sucking her thumb and bouncing off the walls. And as he drove by her house, about 2 weeks later, there was an ambulance there. And they're bringing her out, you know, her hair is looking like, it's Scott Evil. And so, how about you, Craig? This is the thing that you do, and it's so wrong, so very, very wrong. And Billy Bob Thornton did it. Gorgeous woman. Beautiful body, talented woman, nuts, I mean, freakier than the March Hare. She's freaking dingier than 3 coats of paint. And this guy said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. And now look what you got, Billy Bob. Hey, nice going there, Charlie. You should have written me a letter first. Boy, I know she's beautiful, man, but, you know, now she's got the whole blood thing, and who knows? She's going to bust into your place and slit your throat from ear to ear some night, all the while telling you how much she loves you.
You know I love you, don't you?
Yeah, honey. Pow! Yeah, this one that I was with, that's not nuts to want to go on a mule ride, is it? But to me, it sounded nuts. This was like, what do you mean, was it before or after sex? Okay, time for a mule ride. Yeah, all right. I don't think I would be flattered by that, you know what I'm saying? We just get done having a marvelous, intimate time, and she says, boy, what I'd really like to do is ride on a mule. But, and then, I'm trying to think of what else. And then she moved her clothes into my apartment. She moved her clothes in. And I said, I didn't say anything. Like, each day, week, or whenever I'd say, more and more clothes. Pretty soon, I could have opened my own store. Shoes and packs of cigarettes everywhere. And I went ahead and did it anyway, like a freak. And then she's in the bathroom finally going, I feel pretty, oh so pretty, while she's cutting her wrists. And you realize that this something has gone terribly wrong. I'm kidding, she didn't cut her wrists. You know me, I like to joke about suicide. So I'm telling you, Billy Bob, why don't you get your head screwed on straight? See, you're a younger man than me, Billy Bob. Younger man, I can get you squared away on some of this stuff, because what happens ultimately in life, if you live long enough, you settle down with a woman who is really not boring, but she's real responsible and solid and all of those exciting things. How old is he? 46? Forget it. You ain't older than me. Well, a little bit younger. I'll be 50 in September. So what else? You know, who cares? But you want excitement, huh? You want thrills? She's real sexy. She's built like a freaking brick house, right? Yeah? Okay. Swell. How would you like a cat nailed to your front door, too? You loving that, huh, man? You have a gutted cat nailed to your front door some night. You want that? So she's real hot, huh? She's the sexiest thing in the world, man. There ain't nothing that she'll say no to. You want her showing up at 3 o'clock with her wardrobe in her car? Because she imagined in her fantasy that you invited her to get married? You're looking for that elephant gun that your father gave you, and it ain't no good. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, another news. Thousands of jumbo flying squid measuring up to 2 feet long have washed ashore at a La Jolla beach. Wow. Oh, grow up. Are you telling me this made the news, the wire? Up to 2 feet long. These are giant? I saw that movie 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That ain't no giant for nothing, man. That one thing came out of the ocean and ripped out the Lincoln Tunnel. Workers on Friday removed 12 tons of dead and dying squid stranded at La Jolla Cove. You know, I love it about people spend thousands of dollars on fishing equipment, hundreds of thousands of dollars on boats, on lines, on lures, on bait, on everything. And the minute a fish beaches himself, we freak out. Get back in there and let me catch you. And the whales are beaching themselves. Maybe they like the price of real estate. What do you think of that? Maybe they're going to move in next door to you. Thousands of jumbo flying squid measuring up to 2 feet long have washed ashore at La Jolla Beach, surprising scientists and swimmers. Well, get over it. It was unbelievable, said Bill Halsey as he sat sucking his thumb. They made these strange noises like a dolphin or a seal or some kind of thing from another planet, he said as he was led away. The thing that weirds me out, said Cliff Williams, about the squid is that they have human-like eyeballs. Some of Cliff's friends aren't that good-looking, as this reporter found out. The thing that weirds me out about the squid, said Cliff Williams, as he hung around the surf shop, as Cliff was oiling down and polishing rental bicycles. The thing that weirds me out, said Cliff from his boogie board concession, is that the squid have human-like eyeballs. Some of them look just like family members. The jumbo flying squid, known by their scientific name, jumbo flying squid, normally nestle in the eastern Pacific Ocean, but they've been showing up on beaches from Orange County to the Mexican border. Scientists suspect alien influence from another planet. Or maybe it's El Nino. The funny thing about the squid is we haven't seen them around here. What do they want? The Army is attempting to communicate with them now. The jumbo flying squid, known by their scientific name, Desiticus gigas. Oh, they're called jumbo flying squid. I was going to say shrimp. Now, the minute jumbo flying shrimp start showing up on beaches, you better let me know. Because I will leave these microphones, I will leave these studios and head down there. Said Cliff Williams, the thing about squid that weirds me out is they all look like Lee Majors. All right. So, we also have the whales. Rescuers rushed to the aid of dozens of pilot whales that stranded themselves Monday on Chapin Beach. Here's the thing, if I may say this, and this is the point that I wanted to make, and thanks, Phil, for getting the point. You're welcome. Is this. Why do we have to blame ourselves every time a squid or a whale beaches himself? Something we did? We did it. I guarantee it's some crap we threw in the ocean, or the fact that we're even here, or the fact that we're swimming in the ocean, the fact that we've polluted the ocean, the fact that we've fished out too much stuff and the whales are dying for this and the whales are dying for that. Yes, I understand that humans have been responsible for the decimation of many of the whale herds, but sometimes the whales just want to get the hell out of there and they want to beach themselves. Maybe they want to commit suicide. Maybe these guys said they've been doing it for hundreds of years. And the squid, too. It ain't your fault. Don't feel bad about it, okay? And I love how these people run down to the beach and try to roll the whales back into the water. There's a reason why they got themselves out of there in the first place. They don't want to go back in there. If I'm a whale and I'm laying there, let's help him, okay? Like, get your hands off of me!
Get away!
Daddy! Daddy! The whales!
Yes, that's right. It looks like they've beached themselves.
Gotta help them! Free Willy and like that there!
Okay. Down there to the beach they go, and the whale's going, now what are you doing? I'm rolling you back in. I didn't want to go back in, did I? Did I want to go back in? No, we have to roll. I didn't want to go in. I came up here. This is why I want to be here. You mean you want to kill yourself? You have so much to live for. Oh, I do, huh? Boat propellers and crap that you guys are throwing out, like those ham sandwiches and everything, like salted peanuts you're throwing overboard on your 33-foot yacht. No, I don't have a lot to live for. You have so much to live for. What, a Jap spear? I got a bunch of Norwegians going, I'm a Yemeni there, another one off the boat. Just let me out of here. I'm laying on the sand, okay? No, we're environmentalists, ecologists, all that bullcrap. Oh, look, man, go make yourself feel better. Go save some of them squid, okay? Don't be rolling me back into the ocean to make you feel better about your life and your kid. Free Willy. Now we're getting back in there. And then they roll the whales back in, and sometimes they figure it out. Oh, yeah, what the hell was I doing on the beach? Just go swim and... Remember that one that was up there in the Sacramento River Delta? What was it? They gave it a name, Humphrey. That's a great, really smart guy name, by the way. There's a whale that's like swimming in a river. And so they give it the perfect bright guy name, Humphrey. You might as well call it Numbnuts, you know? That's what they should have named it. And Numbnuts the whale is still in a river. Boy, what a moron. There he is. Hey, baby. The ocean. That's where you want to go, the ocean. Numbnuts the whale. He's still in a river. That's great, Numbnuts. Scientists say Numbnuts doesn't know his ass from 40 cents a week. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Deb, tell me what it was that you were doing.
I was coming out of the Clayton Barrel in Allentown, and I backed into this guy's Dodge Viper, which is about a $100,000 car. And I backed right into it. I bent one of the back panels. I damaged the rear turn signal and one of the tail lights. I got out of the car. I apologized. All the time I'm thinking, I don't want my husband to find out about this. And so that's when I said to him, let's work something out, and I gave him oral sex.
Where did this take place?
Well, it was in the loading area, the loading dock where they load the groceries for the supermarket. It was at the back area. I really can't believe I'm telling you this.
Well, why didn't you tell your husband
about
the car, about you backing into this man's car? Why would you keep it away from your husband and give this man oral sex so that your husband doesn't find out? Because this guy threatened to tell him?
He said that he felt that our insurance company should know about it, and I know my husband has a blood pressure condition. He's been on beta blockers, but I'm told by our family physician that he has a stroke risk. He's a very emotional man, and he's prone to some serious bouts of anger, and the doctor said that he really needs to keep calm. And
so this is some kind of a moral dilemma?
It's a dilemma that many women face who have emotional husbands or men who are angry or violent. You find so many women facing this dilemma, Phil. Do I tell my husband about a damaged car? Do I tell my husband about a bill, a child that's in trouble, and your risk is anger? Or do I take matters into my own hands and cover up? And in my case, to maintain the longevity of my husband's life, who I love very much, I did offer this man sex. And my friend Nancy Nima, who lost her husband to a stroke, he suffered after she purchased some stocks that were not very good deals.
Well, you're saying that your girlfriend bought stocks and the man got upset?
She had a choice, but she decided to tell him. And she didn't have to, but she did. And he had a stroke, and she lives with the guilt of killing her husband.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. How far do women go in keeping things from their husbands so that their husbands don't get angry and become so angry that they hurt themselves or other? Are you afraid your husband would hit you?
I really don't know, Phil. I've asked myself that question so many times. Jerry has never lifted a hand to me. He has never been violent to me. He has been violent in the house. He's thrown things. He's broken furniture. And as I said to you, he is on beta blockers. The doctor said that he is a stroke risk. So to tell him that I had backed into this man's car, which means that we would have an insurance situation, to me, it was...
Well, was it worth it giving this guy oral sex?
It was worth it. And let me tell you why.
Because is that not a... Are you not breaching your marriage vows?
I don't believe that I am. No, I do not. I do not.
Why? I mean, you're giving this man sex so that he won't tell your insurance company and your husband won't find out.
Because I really don't want the injury to my husband.
So this is more a feeling for the well-being of your husband.
It's more protective of Jerry more than anything else, yes. That I don't want him to become so upset that something's going to happen to him. And again, you have to understand, unless you're a woman, I don't think you can completely, that millions of American women face this dilemma every day. And the dilemma is essentially, do I tell my husband about a bill or about something bad that's happened in the house, or do I keep it from him? And what do I have to do to keep it from him? And I know a lot of women who've traded sex for that.
Well, what woman, you know, how do women, if a woman trades sex for, in your case, you gave sex to a guy whose car you hit so he wouldn't tell your insurance company, what does that say about your marriage?
It says that the marriage is intact, and it says that I love my husband, and it says that I want to protect my husband. A friend of mine, Phil, to give you an example from the Bay Area, bought some online exercise equipment that was very expensive. And the company had no refund policy. She knew she'd been impulsive. She needed to get a refund because it was not anything that her husband was going to be happy with. It was very expensive. And she, again, had an impulse to buy it. If her husband found out, this man had recently undergone bypass surgery. He had a massive coronary. She was able to contact the president of the company, and she agreed to meet him at a golf resort in Palm Springs.
And she agreed to have sex with him?
She agreed to service him, yes. So this is what women face, and most men are unaware of that.
Trading sex for...
Trading sex with strangers for the longevity of their family and to make sure it's not a fatherless family.
If I ask the women in my audience right now, in your life, have you traded sex during your marriage... Have you traded sex during your marriage with a man who isn't your husband for something that would protect your family? What do you think the odds are? What do you think the percentage would be?
Well, so the University of Indiana did a study on this 6 years ago, and they collated that 7 out of 10 women answered in the affirmative when asked, would you give a stranger sex if it would protect your family or your husband?
Well, when you put it that way, when you say, would you give a stranger sex if it would protect your family or your husband, I suppose women put in that position would say yes. But you're talking about not wanting your husband to find out because he might get angry and have a stroke?
So it was 5 minutes in a loading dock, 5 minutes in the area where they load the groceries at the back of the supermarket to save my husband's life.
5 minutes you spent in the alley behind a supermarket giving oral sex to a man whose car you hit so your husband wouldn't find out about it and have a stroke. That's what you're telling me.
But your judgment is that I somehow broke my marriage vows. I don't believe that I did.
Well, I believe that you did.
Well, unless you're a woman, you can't understand that. But I would crawl on my hands and knees through every alley in the world, after every man in the world, if it meant protecting my family.
Well, you know, using the words protecting your family is one thing, but saving your husband from finding out about an insurance bill that he may get angry about or he may not. Are you absolutely sure he would have gotten angry had he gotten that insurance bill?
I don't know, Phil, if he absolutely would have. But if he had, and if Jerry had a stroke, I mean, do you have any idea how much women fear an emotional and possibly violent husband?
So you are saying that you're afraid your husband could get violent with you if he found out that you'd hit this car?
I am saying I did what I had to do to protect myself and my family. And 5 minutes giving oral sex to a man in an alley behind a supermarket sounds disgusting, but I can live with myself knowing that I saved myself from a beating.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We've just heard the tale there of Deb Turner, who provided oral sex to a man in an alley behind a supermarket whose car she had hit because she didn't want that man to report this to his insurance and to her insurance, thus having her husband find out, and perhaps he would get angry, and perhaps he might even have a stroke and hurt himself. According to her, the literature says 7 out of 10 women, according to a study from the University of Indiana, would do the exact same thing. 1-800-449-8686. Another unbelievable story here on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're back with Deb. Her story is a very bizarre story, Deb. I got to tell you, I'm having a very difficult time justifying this morally in my mind, that you hit a man's car at a supermarket, and then to induce him not to tell your husband and report it to your insurance company, you performed oral sex on him behind the supermarket, and you say that that is justification because your husband, if he'd heard about it, would have had a stroke.
Phil, it's really important for you to understand that my husband is a man that could, if it was possible to understand this view, could be very, very ill from this.
Has your husband had any health problems?
He has not had any health problems. I'm worried about what could happen. What could happen?
Has he ever struck you?
No, he's never struck me, but the fact is, all women know how men are. All men are capable of committing vicious, brutal, and bloody violence against women, no matter who they are. And if you let yourself in for that, you only have yourself to blame.
So your husband's never been violent with you, but just in case he was going to get violent with you, you performed oral sex on a stranger.
In order to save myself and my family, and I do it again.
1-800-449-8686. Shirley, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm an RN, and my husband also is on a beta blocker. And if I did something, ran into someone's car, and I cannot even believe this lady would even justify. She's justifying doing this.
Could I ask you a question? Have you ever been victimized by an abusive husband or?
You did not. I listened to the radio. You did not ever say your husband was abusive until just now. Has he ever hit you before?
No, he's not. But the possibility...
Has he ever threatened to hit you?
No, he has not. But the possibility...
All right, then that does not justify. To me, if he finds out that you've been doing what you've been doing behind the grocery store, that's when you should get worried, because someone's going to let him know.
Every man has within him the possibility of physical violence against a woman.
Listen, let's not even go there, because when he finds out telling what the man would do. Because
yeah.
I'm sitting here with my husband right now, and I absolutely, if I ran into a car, I did everything. And he's got a temper, but so do I. I can take care of myself, can you.
But
let me tell you this. You are not speaking for the majority of the women that I know. I don't know who you're speaking for.
The University of Indiana study was very clear that...
7 of 10 women cheat on their husbands get in trouble?
No, not 7 of 10 cheat. 7 of 10 women would perform oral sex on a stranger if they felt it would...
On a stranger?
Yes.
I want to see that. I would really want to see that, because I think it's a total bogus lie. I just don't understand why anyone would put herself in jeopardy.
If I could jump in here, Shirley, it sounds to me, Deb, what you're saying is to save their lives. Is that correct?
To save their family, yes.
All right. You say that your husband's never hit you. You say that your husband has never been abusive to you. You say that all of these things. All you're saying is that every man has it in him to be violent.
I've seen my husband get angry, and I don't want to see him get violent. And I would rather perform oral sex on a tramp, on an unwashed tramp, than have my husband hit me. Have you ever hit a Viper? Now it's a $100,000 car, Shirley. It's a very expensive car.
Shirley?
Yes, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
What were you doing?
I was trying to listen to you.
Well, I'm talking to you,
go ahead and ask me whatever you want.
Have you ever run into a $100,000 Dodge Viper?
I have had my share of wrecks, and my husband was an insurance adjuster, and he was the insured adjuster of my car and the car I ran over a Corvette.
When you say
and he had a very violent temper,
all right,
and I had to call and say I did this, and I didn't. It would never dawn on me to go and do what you did. I mean, most women will not do that.
If you knew that your husband was going to strike you.
Well, listen, I was thinking this was my very first husband.
Trip.
My very first husband would have if he could have gotten away with it.
Well, I think
an abusive man, and I don't care. You tell the truth every time, you'll come out the winner.
Well, but surely the thing that I believe is it's not like oral sex is a big deal. On a weekly basis.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal to men,
well,
believe me.
Well, on men, but not for women. On a weekly basis.
Are you kidding?
I could put
you
it
know
on
what
my...
you're doing, what you could get. I'm an RN.
Yes.
I know what you could get from what you're doing.
And what is it that
you...
Strangers. I just heard you say that you'd perform oral sex on an unwashed tramp if it meant that you didn't have to tell your husband about hitting a car.
I would rather suffer the possibility of gonorrhea than to see Jimmy.
No, it wouldn't be just gonorrhea. It would not just be gonorrhea. It could be AIDS. It could be anything.
Chaplain.
Believe me, I'm telling you, I've been
this
in the medical profession for
Thank
23
you,
years.
Shirley is an RN, and she knows what she's talking about.
Well, you sound like a very sensible woman, and I'm thankful that you're in a very good
Well, I hope you never do it again.
All right.
I hope you never do it again.
Well, I don't want you to.
Because your health is at stake.
That's very, very profound and very wise advice. Shirley, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Talking to a woman who believes that... performing oral sex on a man, a stranger, rather than tell her husband about hitting his car.
But still, I've talked to a lot of women who saw the University of Indiana study.
I'd like to see this study if you could fax it to me.
I'd love to. But I truly would rather suffer facial genital warts than go through that kind of thing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kennedy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Kennedy?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
No, I think what the woman do is wrong.
You need to turn your radio down, Kennedy. That's probably
no,
what's...
No, my radio is off.
Okay,
my radio is off.
All right, go ahead.
Because I'm calling you from a cell phone.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd rather she come and tell me than she do that, regardless what.
No, but
because,
I don't...
Because, first of all, if my woman, you know, oral sex is cheating, and if I got my woman, she cheat on me, I look at her different.
No, but what if... Are you going to beat her? Are you going to beat her or be wrong to her or anything? I don't want my husband to get angry and stop giving me my allowance, which I use. I go to the different department stores. It's my freedom. I buy different things, you know, the fashions. If I lose my money, I lose my freedom. And if he found out that I had this accident, Kennedy, I wouldn't have the freedom to go and buy the different fashions and shoes.
No, so you'd rather cheat with another man just to protect this freedom.
But it's not really cheating. It's more like...
I don't
see how you call that cheating. I really don't.
Well, it's cheating because it's a sexual act that is performed, thank you, Kennedy, between a man and a woman. B, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I don't remember the lady's name, but then again, she's not a lady.
My name is...
How the hell do you perform oral sex on a guy that... gives you his word, he's not going to report it. Now, if he reports it, what happens? What happens then? Your husband finds out you were a slut in an alley, and you still dirtied the car.
He told me that he wasn't going to say anything.
He told you?
And so far, he hasn't.
He told you?
He hasn't told me.
You know what?
Honey,
I don't know how old you are, but your brain didn't grow with your body.
Wait a second. He told me he wasn't telling Jerry. He hasn't told Jerry. He kept his word.
He kept his word.
Yes.
And you kept his putts in your mouth.
You
did he give it to you in writing also? You know what?
You're a stupid lady.
You know what?
Mind.
I'm not going to even wait for your answer because I'm not going to stay on the air that long. You did a stupid thing. Your husband would have less respect for you if he finds this out than he would have if you came to him like a woman and said, look, I banged up the car.
But
big
deal. You don't know my husband.
I don't care about anybody's husband, but I wouldn't.
I would rather perform oral sex on Osama bin Laden and have him find out.
Oh, you know what? You would like to perform oral sex on every man that walked the street, and you'll have an excuse why you did it.
You know something that's really insulting?
No, it's not. What you did is it insulting to women.
Do I tell him
you
what
insult
happened?
Women. You lower the standard of a woman by saying the things you've just said. You take your marriage and you throw it in the garbage can by saying what you said. Talking to you is a waste of my time.
I'm trying
because
to get
you,
you to
no, don't tell me you
have you been in a
perform oral sex on a bum in an alley to protect your husband. Protect your husband from what? From what are you protecting him? From a piece of garbage that he married?
No,
he'll have a stroke. If he didn't have a stroke living with a piece of garbage like you till now, believe me, the man will want to die when he finds out what he did with all these years. That's why men die first.
Most
because
women,
they want to get away from women like you.
You know that most women would perform oral sex.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
Beating for knocking over the china. You
no, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
On Hobo
you,
Kelly.
Yeah. Not most women.
Well, I think you've worked with
women.
Have you been in an abusive relationship?
I've worked with
everybody. You've been in an abusive relationship.
You're a lowlife. You can make excuses.
Thank you. Thank you, B. 1-800-449-8686. This woman performed oral sex on a total stranger so her husband wouldn't find out about her hitting somebody's car. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I just want to be clear. You had a friend who purchased something online that was an impulsive buy, and she didn't want her husband to find out about it, so they didn't have a refund policy. So instead, she agreed to meet the president of the company at a golf resort in Palm Springs and have sex with him during the weekend.
That's true, Phil. And it's an incredible experience for me to realize that men don't understand what I'm talking about, even though it's a very common experience for women.
We're talking with Deb Turner. She gave oral sex to a stranger in an alley so he wouldn't tell her husband about her hitting his car as she was backing out of a supermarket. Here's Mike on the Phil Hendry Show. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, let's come clean here. Deb, is it more like Dan or Dave? I mean, in my opinion, from what I'm listening,
I don't think you're female.
I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying, you know, you might be some cross-dressing transvestite taking hormones sitting in a payphone somewhere just taking this guy's time up. Because the story you're telling is,
do you understand? That's fine. I mean, I have a 20-year smoking habit, so if I sound as if I've got that kind of voice, I don't know what I can say.
Well, you do have a dulcet.
I just don't buy your story.
You do have a dulcet voice. Now, let's get down to the. You're not believing what she's saying, that it even took place, Mike?
No, I just think this is somebody calling from somewhere, making a story up, to be honest with you.
Like a crank phone call?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, they might not have nothing better to do and just making this up, trying to get on the air.
Well,
I mean, I'm not saying that nothing like this has ever happened, but I don't buy it from what I'm hearing, the language I'm hearing, the way you're saying and everything. I just don't buy it. I don't even think you're a female. I think you're a man.
Well, I mean, if you could just see how I'm giving women a chance not to get hurt.
Well, I mean, you're listen to what you're saying. You don't even make sense.
I experienced it. What do you mean?
Sorry, that's okay.
Oral sex.
Okay, I'm sorry. But
I'm protecting my husband from... My husband had quadruple bypass surgery.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever find out about this, that just would turn him in right here. This would do it. But anyway,
I don't want him to know that the accident took place. And so I performed oral sex on this stranger who was African-American.
Hey, this is getting better. All right. Well, listen, I just don't buy her story.
I want to tell you one more thing. Well, Mike, I want to tell you one more thing, all right?
Yeah.
This is really Phil Hendry doing the voice.
What?
In other words, the host of the show, his name is Phil Hendry. He's also doing my voice.
He's also doing your voice?
Yes.
so I was right.
Yes, no, you weren't right, because you thought it was a cross-dresser calling from a payphone.
Well, no, we're not S-ing you, but you can't use that.
I can't, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, it's me actually doing the voice.
Well, I can enjoy it.
Isn't it fun? It's fun how we can create these scenarios and people call in like schmucks, you know?
That's all right. I'm the first time I ever called in.
You might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
There it is.
There you go.
All right, man. Thanks.
What do you mean, man?
I mean, thanks a lot. Okay.
How would you feel if your woman hit a viper? Oh, never mind.
Did you hit a viper, or did you,
eat a viper?
Yeah. Of all the silly crap we've put on the air, that one really tests credulity. Although, did it test the credulity of the audience as much as our initial hour, which was, what was that again? Forget. Chris Norton's reality TV show, where he, at the end of the date, he votes whether she gets to spend the night in Spoon or he votes her out of his apartment. Got a couple of calls on that one, though. I thought that was pretty good. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. I got a question. Should we start reading email on this show? I see everybody reading email. I hear everybody reading email. Do we get very interesting email? Do we? Maybe we ought to start reading email on this program. Because I do want to stay in touch with the audience on some level other than just chumping them. And although I do get a great many wonderful things from you guys, nothing of which that I acknowledge on the air, like free, you know, free stuff. I don't want to really say, but we are going to start reading email on this program. Our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. And you can certainly send whatever it is that you want to send in. I'm kind of changing my thinking on that only because it's a new age and there are people who don't have the opportunity to communicate with us and perhaps they'd like to. And the other thing is that maybe you think this show is a pile of absolute and utter mung and you'd like me to know about that. Well, by all means, email it in. We'll hit the delete button and you'll never know whether we read it or not. All right. So again, phs@philhendryshow.com. By the way, our website is philhendryshow.com. And that will take you to our audio archives, our 30-day archives. We've got the greatest radio comedy in history on our website and on this show every day. And we archive it and we keep it and we love it. And we've got it all there stored in high-quality audio so you can listen to it anytime you want. All you got to do is get a backstage pass, and it's only $6.95 a month. Which, by the way, I see your subscriptions going up every week. May I make a suggestion? Many of you get the one-month subscription. You're really wasting your money because it's an auto renewal, and I know a lot of you guys hang on to the 1 month subscription, and you're really saving money if you get a 6 month. Honestly, do the math. So rather than get a 1 month and let it just renew, for 6 months, get the 6 month and save yourself some money. It's $6.95 a month, but with the 6 month, it's like 7 times 6. I don't know, it's like $35 or something. So check it out anyway on our website. See if it comes out as something you'd like to do in terms of your economics, okay? PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on? I'm sorry. I was talking to everybody here with the mic off, which is the best part of this show. When web operator John Messner gained control of one of Al-Qaeda's prime internet communication sites, he offered it to the FBI to use it for disinformation and collecting data about sympathizers. What followed, he says, was a week of frustration because FBI agents struggled to find someone with enough technical know-how to set up the sting. By the time they did, the opportunity was lost. That, according to John Messner. Now, here's what he did, and it's very ingenious, and it sounds easy, and dealing with the people that we're dealing with, knowing the level of naivete, because really we're not dealing with dumb people in Al-Qaeda or any of these Islamic fundamentalist Islamist guys. We're dealing with bright people, but we're not dealing with sophisticated people in terms of Western culture. They think they got us figured out. They ain't even begun to open the book. What happened was this. There's a website, or there was a website, alneda.com, A-L-N-E-D-A. This was used by Al-Qaeda as an information dissemination website. Messner, very bright guy, this guy's in, I don't know where he is, he's Washington, D.C., he went to a site to find out whether or not that registration was about to lapse, and he found out that it was indeed going to lapse, so he snapped it up, alneda.com, and began to fill it with web pages from the original Arabic site. So now he's running the site. He's got web pages that make it, the site look like it is indeed the Al-Nada Al-Qaeda site. And he's got all these towel wrappers logging on and coming on and going to message boards and saying, praise Allah, the Al-Nada site is back up. This is a cool and groovy thing. So this guy's, now he's got all these people logging on and they think that they're going to be getting the word from on high from Bin and all the guys, right? So he goes to the FBI. He says, this is what I got. I got this site. It's up and running. And these dumbasses are logging on thinking they got the real Al-Qaeda site. And the FBI has got their thumb parked up their butt. They didn't know what to do. According to him, he said, I was tracing back to hostile message boards. And when they were translated, they said, praise Allah, the Al-Nada site is back up. Since he couldn't write any new articles in Arabic, he needed the FBI's help to keep the site alive. He said FBI's officials in Baltimore encouraged the work, but took too long to decide how to help him. Within a week, other Arabic websites outed Messner's site as a phony and warned visitors away. He shut it down. I mean, they had a really great opportunity. I would love to be involved in something like that. See, what we do on this show is we create disinformation for the benefit of our listening audience. We blow up the supposed news-gathering abilities and informational dissemination abilities of talk radio. We expose it for what it is, which is a farce, and we do it on behalf of our audience and for their everlasting entertainment. That's what we do. I mean, we entertain you by showing you what a phony baloney thing talk radio really is. That's what we do. So we are proficient at this. This is our métier, if you will. We are the 101st Airborne of bullcrap. We are the Rangers. We are the Delta Force of BS, the Phil Henry Show. And if ever you wanted to create a disinformation campaign designed to screw some towel wrappers' heads up, we're the guys to call. And this Messner guy is another guy. I'd love to be involved in something like that. Now, locally here in Los Angeles, we have a talk show host. Maybe you know the name, Kevin Mitnick. Ever heard of him? Well, maybe you have, because Kevin spent 4 years in jail after allegedly hacking into the Sun Microsystems computer system to the tune of about $80 million worth of damage. Problem is, Kevin is not allowed to touch a PC for another 5 months. Oh, and by the way, his show was canceled. However, he had a talk show locally in L.A. Why didn't the FBI pick this guy's brain or bring him on board? Or maybe they already have. Get him in there. Get him hacking into some of these sites. That's all I'm saying. I think it'd be really out of sight. 1-800-449. But is that his website, freekevin.com? Go to freekevin.com and you can check out all the freaky stuff that this guy did, which I'm told when he went on the air, he was like, Kevin Mitnick, KFI, more stimulating talk radio. Well, let's see, whose life can I ruin today? Just some cat with too much time on his hand. Well, put these guys to work, hack it into some towel wrapper website, find out where these guys live. It's a beautiful thing. The other idea that I have, all those caves in Afghanistan that we've been wiping all the Al-Qaeda out of and all the Taliban, we ought to take them over. See, in other words, Don't show them that we're there. Just stick our guys in those caves. Start digging more caves. That's where we live now. American, you know, Airborne and the 10th Division, Mountain Division, and all of those guys, the Rangers, Delta Force, we all live in caves now. And we just get real invisible, so when any of those guys venture to come down the hill from the Pakistan border, then we turn them into pizza toppings, just like they, you know, just like they never knew what hit them. What do you think of that? That's another cool idea. Finally, on the topic of the Palestinians in the Middle East, Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia are getting together because they want to figure out what to do about the problem. Why don't you guys do something like this? Give them money to build houses and roads. Give them money so that they can feed people. All you guys have ever done is complain about Israel. You're the biggest pack of phony balonies that ever walked. Do they have embassies in this country? Saudi Arabia and all those guys? I mean, have you ever seen a group of more arrogant jackballs than those cats from over there like Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia walking around with their sheets on talking about the suffering Palestinian people? You guys couldn't care if the lot of them croaked tomorrow. And if it meant that you'd have to sell one thoroughbred horse, you guys would, you'd just as soon sit there and suck your thumb. If it meant that you guys had to sell one thoroughbred horse, one AstroTurf golf course, if you had to, like, give up one diamond ring or one gold toilet seat just so you could buy a couple of, like, a couple of cans of tuna for some starving Palestinian kid, you guys would rather slit your own throats. That's how much you care about those people. I have never seen a more impotent group of people than the combined governments of the Middle East when it comes to the Palestinian people. This is something we got to figure out, and it's something that Israel's got to figure out. But with the group of those guys, whether it's Iraq, Iran, or the rest of them, Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, put their money together and they could buy Mars. They can't get together to buy one toilet for any of those people. Not a toilet, not a road, not a house, not a door, nothing. But they do know how to give them like $30K, $40K, $50K a year to Mama-san when their son blows himself into about, 16 different bags of beef jerky. That's fine. That's great. Congratulations. Let us give you some money so your son blew himself to bits. There ought to be a law, man. If the kid blows himself up, then he drags his mother with him. Too bad I can't make those rules for all those, all those rocket scientists they got over there. Forget about deporting the parents. Here's what you do. When a suicide bomber goes in and does what he does, then Israel sends in a hit squad and they wipe out the whole family. Does that sound too cruel? Oh, it does? Well, I think it's pretty good. I like it. Next thing you know, they find mommy. She's going to turn up in the news the next day anyway, talking about what a great kid her son is because he blew up like 15 innocent people and himself. Well, the next day they find her just sitting in her rocking chair with a little trickle of blood down the right side of her head. You know, just rocking back and forth. Speaking of suicide bombings, check out our souvenir shop. We have the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD going all the way back to 1997. This year's CD is called Bring It. The 2001 features all of the best bits from the year 2001. And don't forget, we're fast approaching our Best of the Year 2002 CD. We got so much stuff. We got so much comedy loaded into this year that we're bound to have a double CD set coming out this year. By God. So look at that, and while you're there, peruse our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, named by L.A. Magazine as the instant collectible of the month. Yes, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, perfect for every occasion. Also, while you're there, pick up the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. These are all collectibles, things you should have if you're a Phil Hendry Show fan that don't really say Phil Hendry on. In other words, very cool. It's very nice to walk down the street looking like a dork in a bowling shirt that says Ted's of Beverly Hills. That way, nobody's going to identify with my show. No, I'm kidding. That way, when people say, what's that about? You say, I heard it on the Phil Hendry Show. So go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and while there, pick up a backstage pass that gives you access to our audio archives, our 30-day archives, don't we have our Phil Hendry, what is that called anyway, Chris? Phil Hendry Down Through History. Check that out. It's a scrapbook of pictures that show me at various times through history. I was there when Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. I was there when Washington crossed the Delaware. I was also knocked out by Muhammad Ali there in 1962 in Miami. And I think there's also a picture of me somewhere, I think I was with Hitler at the Eiffel Tower. Oh, yeah, by the way, I was a member of the Beatles. So anyway, look at it. It's great. Chris spent a lot of time and trouble on it. It's very funny. It's there on our website. Check out, if you'd like to know how many women listen to the show, check our wall of female listeners. And I believe we've got 17 women that now listen to our show. Check it out. If you are a new female listener, send your picture in to our website. Just go to the website and so you can find out the directions and how to do that. Also, on our Phil Down Through History, I believe that I was the original Alice on the Brady Bunch. Thanks for that. It's all there on our website, philhenryshow.com.